The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. I am your host, Reverend Jeff Bolin, commander of the Infernal Legion, and today is our Memorial Day episode for year 59 Anno Satanas, or 2024 for the plebs. Today we'll be discussing all things Memorial Day. It may be a shorter episode, but that's okay. We'll be talking about the history of Memorial Day, modern observations and attitudes towards Memorial Day, and what we're going to be doing on Memorial Day, because full disclosure, this is recorded the Friday before. At the end of the episode, as always, we will read a list of the names of the fallen. All I ask of the listeners is that in between each name, they take a moment, pause, and reflect. And then we'll see you in a few weeks with the next episode of the official Infernal Legion podcast. But before we get there, how can we talk about Memorial Day without an awesome panel? So please help me welcome back my lovable, furry and indomitable co-host, the VSO of the Infernal Legion, fresh back from a tragic masturbation accident. Reverend Dwayne Burns is in the house. Dwayne, how the hell are you, brother?
Thank you, brother. I'm doing good. Those masturbation accidents are, at least we know it still functions at my age.
The accidents are becoming an epidemic. We really need to talk something about this.
You gotta stop trying to pull right. Always pull left.
And also joining us on our panel is back from, what is this, like a 2-month break? Did you have a masturbation accident too? You'll know him from his stand-up comedy and dancing his sweet ass off all over Yuma, Arizona. He is the co-founder and the director of special activities for the Infernal Legion, Satanist Raul Atondo in the house. What's up, brother?
What's up? Muchas gracias, caballeros. Muchas gracias. I have been dancing my ass off, and I also yesterday got my mic muted for the first time. A badge of honor to me. Thank you so much.
You need to plug in one of those applause buttons. That's awesome, man. And, of course, in the fourth chair, joining us for the first time live since, I think, Veterans Day.
Yeah.
You know him from his own YouTube channel, Evil Live, or maybe you don't because no one follows that channel.
No.
But you probably know him for sure from the segment The Tower right here on the official Infernal Legion podcast. Please welcome Magister Adam Campbell to the show. Adam, what's up, man?
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. I'm excited.
I love talking about dead things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, come on to the most morose show we have all year long. It'll be great.
We will all be crying by the end. It will be glorious.
Glorious.
All right, gents. Well, before we get into the really serious stuff, I want to talk about some happy stuff, right? First and foremost, I want to say happy birthday and a shout out to Ryan Hunt of Pando Commando. Those of you who are longtime listeners to the show know that Ryan used to run the company Mountain Up. He is working with us to make some apparel, some attire for the Infernal Legion, and he is also going to be sponsoring the show. So on the next episode, you'll start hearing interstitials for Pando Commando. So shout out to Ryan Hunt. Thank you, brother, so much for doing this. Ryan and I go a long way back. He was actually my platoon leader on my first deployment to Iraq.
No shit.
Yeah. So he's a really cool guy. Speaking of cool guys, as I said at the beginning, we're recording this on the Friday before Memorial Day, which makes it May 24th, which means happy highest holiday to Magus Peter H. Gilmore.
Yeah.
Honorary Legionnaire, one of our biggest supporters, and obviously the face of Satanism for the last 20-some years now.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And also, brief bit of news. I just got this notification before we start recording. Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense for the United States, is going back into some type of surgical thing. He's going to be passing his responsibilities to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. For longtime listeners of the show, you'll know that I served under Lloyd Austin when he was a Major General. And I know him personally, so I wish him the best. I did hope that he would be a better Secretary of Defense than he is, but, you know, we can't all get what we want.
This episode is brought to you by Duffelblog. Read in the Pentagon and around the world, since 2012, Duffelblog has been the most trusted news source for the American military. Duffelblog is the first and only satire newsletter devoted to the United States military community. Visit Duffelblog.com for more information.
All right, guys, let's turn on the waterworks. Let's get to the sad talk, right? Because obviously we can't do a Memorial Day show for the Infernal Legion without mentioning our recently departed Magister Neil Smith, who was one of the first nine Legionnaires. He passed away in his hospital room, unfortunately. You know, he would have loved to go out in his own bed with his dog. And he was given a full military honors procession and whatnot. What's really sad, of course, is that we're all now Neil-less. And Neil was such an amazing human being, such a generous, caring, funny, and lewd man.
Best of all.
Does anyone have any specific fond memories of Neil they want to share before we move on from that?
No, just rival kilt wearers, you know?
Yeah. That's right. You and him were definitely the kilt guys, for sure.
Yeah, just like every special occasion, he would always go straight up Prince Charlie outfit, which is always dope to see. And like, he was like the only person that did it. And so that was just, you know, just sort of hats off to that. I always love seeing other people of Scottish lineage celebrating it. But, you know, outside of that, he was such a tender human being, you know, who, whenever you hear him speaking about his friends, you know, Magister and Magistra of the High Church of Satan, he always gets like misty-eyed and teary because of how much these people mean to him. And while a lot of us, when we reflect on our old friends, sometimes we just sort of, you know, bust our chops in memoriam, or, you know, we tell, you know, funny stories and stuff. He genuinely got, you know, misty-eyed and stuff, because it meant so much to him. And I like people who wear their emotions on their sleeves, because it's not, you know, it's not pretend, you know, it's meaningful. And,
yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, I definitely have a hard time connecting with other human beings. And when you do, it means a tremendous amount. And so to see that I wasn't alone in that, and he, you know, shared that sort of, the aspect of human nature, I dug it. So he will
It's funny, like a lot of people who aren't Satanists or don't necessarily understand Satanism, one of the first things they usually say after meeting a group of Satanists, not necessarily a big group, but just a group of Satanists, is like, oh man, they're a Gary Busey of Satanists. they're the nicest people in the world, the kindest, nicest, most respectful people in the world. And that's, I mean, we all practice lesser magic, so of course we're going to come across as friendly. But it's always such an odd juxtaposition to know that we're all a little misanthropic, a little bit, in varying degrees. Yeah. But we're all a little misanthropic, and Neil was certainly no different. Neil was not a big fan of the mass of humanity, but he was also probably the kindest amongst all of us.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's something to that weird juxtaposition between kindness and misanthropy.
Gotta be something. I don't know. I mean, you know, you'd mentioned that we are typically adept at lesser magic, and in the best case scenarios, Satanists are. And so it's kind of hard to tell whether or not we're just playing a role for the people we're around, or whether or not we are genuine. And I think the only way that you can tell that for sure is when you are around your own kind and you see how they behave in, you know, it's like watching a nature channel show, and you're watching the lion in the natural habitat, you know, then I know for sure. Okay. Well, that is who that individual really is. And he was always a stand up guy.
Yeah, through and through. Never have anything bad to say about that, except for the typesetting on the Raven was always a little shit. But we'll certainly miss Neil. As Satanists, we also tend to celebrate the life of the person more than to mourn their death, because mourning their death doesn't do them any good and only hurts us in the long run if we get too into it. But we celebrate the life they led, and he led a very storied life. And it brings me to the concept of Memorial Day in general. Memorial Day is traditionally a day to honor those who have fallen in combat. They've paid the ultimate price for their service. But I think all of us, to some extent, also remember and observe the day we think about our friends who served who didn't die in combat. How do you guys feel about including the what I call the non-combat dead into a Memorial Day observance?
I don't know how I feel about it. In one way, it's just, you know, for the combat dead, we get off into a tinge there. People are using Memorial Day for everybody.
That's true.
My long lost uncle twice, you know.
Their pets. I've seen people do it for their pets.
Right.
Pets. No way.
And, you know, oh yeah. And, you know, Memorial Day, I think, is just for the dead. Combat dead, yes.
Yeah, that's rough. What if they were war veterans and then passed? So they did see combat, but they didn't die in there. Combat. Is that just splitting hairs at that point?
You honor your dead the way you honor your dead. I mean, that's going to be the way it's going to be no matter what. But I just honestly feel the dead that died in combat are the ones that we memorialize. I mean, we've got all sorts of memorials going on, and we got to memorialize everything. Memorialize my stub toe.
That was a dark day, to be fair.
Right.
Yeah. We're not even going to talk about the nipple incident.
As it will now be known into the future.
The nipple incident.
Forever cemented.
I think I can respect that position. Because that is what the holiday's for, right? I know that at the same time, whenever I hear taps played on Memorial Day, I do think of the brothers that I served with who died, you know, in a car accident years after deployment, or maybe had cancer, and especially feel a certain kind of way about those who lost the battle with PTSD and committed suicide post-war, because I feel like in a lot of those cases now, in some of those, look, Adam, you're a champ at saying this. Not everyone who serves is a great human being.
Right.
Some people just have shit going on, and it just so happens that they served. But I think in most cases, service members who commit suicide, you know, years after the fact, that's still the war in their mind. That's what took them out. And so
while we may not
dedicate the day to them, their faces always pop up when I hear taps played.
There's people that never come home from their wars. Like, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reflect on all the veterans who had died. While I respect that it's for wartime veterans who died, and I do think that there is a special moment that needs to be taken for that, because that's the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, that's what everyone goes in knowing is a possibility, and no one wants to be a reality. But, you know, some people make that choice to stay behind and let others go, or they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, or just the chaos of the universe sets in, and you're caught in the chaos. But yeah, for me, it's just, I do genuinely feel like it does seem like it's a perfect opportunity to recognize, you know. I remember going, like, in Washington, going to the memorial, the sort of Vietnam Wall where all the names of those who had died and stuff. And it's like a descent as it's this sort of like diamond pattern on its side as you're like descending down into this massive list of names. And it's like a descent to pain and agony. Like, I just lost myself in the emotional trauma of that memorial. And I can't help but think, while some of those people whose names on there, you know, maybe they were POWs during the wartime effort and stuff, they were all still gone, you know. Mm-hmm. And to your point of what you just said about sometimes people don't leave the war, you know, mentally they can't break out of that. There's not that big of a difference the way I perceive it, you know. I mean, you are affected by what you are asked to step up and do. And that is the gravity of that request is enough to make you tip your hat. But then if you don't come back, or when you do come back, you're not yourself, and that ends in tragedy. There should be something, you know, some way of honoring that. So and, if I do end up stealing a little, then yeah.
And respectfully, there is a way to do that. We do have Veterans Day. Veterans Day is not all. Let's go down and have some beers. You know, hey, we're all vets. That is how you honor your other vets that were not combat dead. In my eyes, I mean, you know,
that makes sense.
I respect everybody's, you know, outtake on it. But that's the way I look at it: is that you have Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can honor those dead that day. You have a Memorial Day for people, you know, who died in combat. It's just the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I always feel especially kind of weird about certain. So I'm sure you guys see this when you see the news. There's a whole lot of service members who die in quote unquote training accidents. And training in the military is difficult and does result in death sometimes. But I would say probably 51% of the time that you hear of a bunch of service members dying in a training accident, they're dying in some unspoken combat engagement. And so that one's always a little difficult because, you know, Memorial Day is not just for us. It's for civilians to also honor the fallen. They don't actually know that those guys are fallen in combat. They think they died in a training accident.
Right. That's interesting. Raul, what do you think, man?
So not in combat. A veteran is a serviceman is a serviceman is a serviceman or a woman. And I think the whole lack of perspective, like I think about that a lot. And sometimes I forget that I am a veteran because I served from when I was 19 and 25 and, you know, two Iraq tours and one South Korea tour later. And like you can put the boy in Iraq, but you can't take the Iraq out of the man. And whether these guys deployed or they didn't, we're still trying to honor them. Like the people that were the men and women that were beside of us too, our left and right. I don't want to forget the faces. Those guys were more of my buddies, my quote unquote brothers in arms, rather than the brothers and sisters that I have in biology. Like I have four brothers, but two of them that I grew up three. Who cares? I have these brothers that I actually have, but the guys that I serve with are a lot more closer to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to forget them because sometimes I feel like I do forget them, but the veteran friends that I do have, like you guys, Jeff, Adam, Dwayne, everybody else, it's a reminder. And I don't want to lose that reminder. I want to make sure that I keep those names in my head.
That makes sense. Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does, as time marches on, and it's merciless. And one of the first things to go, I think, in every human being is their memories, while memories are like the only thing that make us really what we are. Mm-hmm. So using Memorial Day as a means to remember the things that during the rest of the year, if you're just too busy or too whatever, you may not think about. That's an interesting perspective.
It's also not to say that you're not honoring those who did make that ultimate sacrifice, you know? I mean, there's like 2 days a year, maybe three, and depending on your area, maybe four, where you are reminded of service. And so of those up to four holidays regionally, you are going to inevitably reflect back on your service and those you served with, or if you didn't serve, then the family members who did. But ultimately, you're also going to then take a moment and just sort of steep yourself in the genuine purpose of that holiday too. So if it's Veterans Day, you'll think of everyone. If it's July 4th, you'll think about founding fathers possibly. If it's Memorial Day, then you're going to think about those who did make that ultimate sacrifice. If you happen to have any in your family or just the sort of amorphous concept of those who did die. So I don't think reflecting on one negates the other. I think it's when people speak out of ignorance of not genuinely knowing the difference between the holidays and then just assuming it's all the sort of catch all for everything. That's when it could potentially for some people be an issue. But yeah, cause I'm the same way. When I think about Memorial Day, I immediately go to my service, my time, the people I knew, my parents, my grandparents who served and died. I immediately go to that place, and then I reflect on the severity of what service means and the people who did make that sacrifice. And so it's almost this sort of spiraling effect. It usually ends in drinking and tears, but I do hit all of those beats in between. So is that normal? I think that probably is a normal thing for those of us.
I think for veterans, for most veterans, it's probably normal. I mean, I know I, at the very least, because I every year I go, and I was going to talk about this later, but I'll talk about it now. Every year I go and represent the Legion at a kind of inter-VSO festivity type thing that happens at our local Veterans Memorial Park. They play taps on the bagpipes. Dope. And there's never a time I don't tear up. So then when we march across the street to the cemetery to lay flags and flowers, I'm just holding back the tears. And yeah. But then, you know, I always, and again, we'll talk about this later, I always follow that up by going to my family's for a barbecue, and we don't cry at all. We cheer and we're happy. So yeah. It's a weird, there's a lot of weird juxtapositions, but no, I don't think you're alone. I think most veterans, especially those who are intelligent and sensitive, like in touch with their feelings and the world around them, get choked up when they think about that stuff, whether they were in combat or not. Especially in this moment in time, I think just about anyone who's ever served in the military from, let's say, Dwayne's generation on to today knows someone who died either in combat or shortly thereafter that they served with. I don't think there's anyone who isn't some kind of connected. So as long as they're in touch with the world around them, they're intelligent enough to recognize their place in history, as it were, they're probably going to get a little misty-eyed on Memorial Day and have a few beers to make up for that.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, it was the Korea War and World War II that people were reflecting back on.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big, I mean, Vietnam was so recent that it felt like current events, even though it had been, you know, over for a while. So they were really just reflecting back on their parents and their grandparents' experience when it came to holidays like Memorial Day. And that's when you really did have some genuine numbers of loss that were just catastrophic in size. So it felt like it was more of a important moment when I was a kid than it is today. And I don't know if that's just a cultural shift because of where we are today for some reason. And maybe, you know, if you guys could tell me if this is reflected in your experience as well. It doesn't seem like nowadays there's much of a celebration. Even when it comes to like July 4th, it's fireworks. It's not remembering the country's founding, you know. Right. I mean, and that's, I think it's the homogenization of holidays that people get confused and forget why the holiday exists. And they're just like, oh, well, everything is just, hey, thanks for your service. Let's go do whatever.
This episode is brought to you by the Warlock Emporium. The Warlock Emporium is creating bespoke items for the chosen few. The Warlock Emporium is the only authorized seller of items bearing the Warlock sigil, created by Magister Dr. Robert Johnson, author of The Satanic Warlock. The Warlock Emporium is now offering a 15% military discount. Visit thewarlockemporium.com for more information.
Oh, right. All right. So we have to talk about, because you said it. You fucking said it, Adam. So we have to talk about it.
It's not my fault.
People who walk, civilians who walk up to you and say thank you for your service on Memorial Day. There can't be anything more annoying than that. I mean, it is the most annoying thing in the fucking world. And I understand that for a lot of them, it's well-intentioned. For most of them, it's a throwaway, like you're talking, Adam. But for some of them, for many of them, it's well-intentioned. But it's not our fucking holiday. It's not our day. It's the day for the fallen. Don't thank me for my service. Go over there and thank that gravestone for his. You know?
Well, here's the question. Do you guys ever correct people?
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Respectfully, I do.
It depends on who it is. Like, if it's an
old... You're like, bitch slap him.
Right? No.
I do a lot of times. A little warm up.
a lot of times... No, I'm saying a lot of times what happens is somebody will say, thank you for your service. And you'll be like, oh, what the fuck do I say? I'm happy to have been able to serve. I mean, yeah, sometimes you just don't know what to say back to them. And mm-hmm. a standard thank you isn't, you know.
It especially like for, say, 364 days out of the year.
Right.
If someone says thank you for your service, I'll, depending on who I'm talking to, I'll either say, you know, thank you for your support, or, you know, if I'm feeling like an especial smart ass and I know they'll appreciate it, I'll say you're welcome. on Memorial Day in general, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that on Memorial Day, and I will, depending on who it is, like I said, if it's some nice old lady outside of, like I said, that inter VSO thing that we do at the Memorial Park, I'm not going to address it. She's genuinely trying to be kind.
Yeah.
But if it's just some, you know, cause as it stands, when I start my day off with some kind of veteran ceremony, I end up wearing veteran swag the whole day. So when I walk into Kroger later to get a six pack and someone says, thank you for your service, I swallow the anger, but I try to remind them respectfully, like, hey, you know, it's not my day. I appreciate your sentiment, but if you're really, you know, interested in the service to this country, please visit the graveyard and see some of the graves, you know, on your way home or whatever.
As a blanket statement, it should be, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But the only place that you should be thanking somebody is over at the cemetery.
Yeah.
Cemetery. That's what I tried hashtag to do. Cemetery.
Hashtag cemetery life. End up with some weird stuff with a bunch of goths. Goth pose.
There was actually, I'm curious to see, on a completely personal note, there was this, there recently, I live in a small town, so this is going to be a small town story. Just as of last week, there was a big controversy over some chickens that had moved into our cemetery. And someone has apparently taken the rooster, and now the hen is completely inconsolable and is just running around the cemetery. So I'm very interested to see. No, I swear this is actually happening. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen on Memorial Day when a bunch of vets cross the street into the cemetery.
You have some fried chicken is what you're going to have. Just got to have something to go with the potato salad. That's wild.
Yeah, it's completely insane. But you know what, Adam, you famously have chickens that like to kill each other.
Well, there's a pecking order. That's where it comes from, you know.
And one of the big kind of modern traditions in Memorial Day now is unofficial start of summer for a lot of people. Either in addition to or completely forsaking the meaning of Memorial Day, they will celebrate the beginning of summer vacation and the warm weather by having these giant barbecues and stuff like that. Having chickens in your own backyard, does that make barbecues better?
No, it makes it much worse because you have to navigate them as you're trying to cook up their dead brothers and sisters. And they're constantly just trying to get food, and then they're pooping everywhere. So you're trying to avoid the landmines. Chickens took us.
Are your chickens egg chickens or meat chickens?
Egg. Egg. All chickens are stew chickens.
But, well, yeah.
But yeah, no, we don't ever like fry them up or anything.
Right.
And we get a shit ton of eggs and it's awesome.
Right.
I love eggs.
I imagine. So I say this every year, but as a Satanist, I'm all about loving life, indulging in life, and enjoying myself. And on days like Memorial Day or earlier this month on 11 May when my two brothers were killed in an IED strike, I can get a little sad, a little morose, a little into my own head. But I always try to remember that I'm alive right now in this moment, and I've got to enjoy it. I've got to celebrate. I've got to indulge. And so, like I said earlier, I close out my day by going over to my family's. We have a barbecue. We chat, hang out with the new nieces and nephews. And it's a great time, and I don't begrudge anyone on Memorial Day who is going to have a barbecue. I just, my request for them would be that they take a moment and remember what the day is about. How do you guys feel about the summer celebration on Memorial Day?
I mean, the way I see it is any time to celebrate, get out and, you know, with the people that you care about and stuff. Personally, I'm one of those people that is always fighting to present a normal face because I'm just sort of messed up inside all the time. And so holidays like Memorial Day are a day I get to indulge in those, you know, deficiencies that I find within myself of just like depression and sorrow and self-pity and shit like that. And
so I'll take the mask off for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just throw on movies like my go-to is Glory, but I always love, Saving Private Ryan, and I'll watch those and I'll just let my natural way of being just sort of flood myself and just go sort of, and again, you know, I'm a parent. And so when my kids were younger, it would be a time to also educate them about some of the horrifying aspects of reality that they're never presented in a school setting or with their friends or even in a social setting. Because again, you know, most holidays are sort of homogenized, capitalized, you know, by corporations and stuff. So it's an opportunity to sort of present them with, no, life has not always been like this. People had to fight for things. And this is a perfect example of what you need to then, you know, sort of reflect on in this specific holiday. And just educate them about it. So
I like that idea. It's almost a ritual of misery that you're allowing yourself on. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Right.
And I used to take my daughter around as well on Memorial Day and Veterans Day and show her around to that
the. It's great. It's important.
The Veterans Day. Now she's an adult and she's got a kid of her own, but that kid's not old enough yet to understand. So in a few years, we'll start that process up again.
This episode is brought to you by Underworld Amusements. Since 2007, Underworld Amusements has been creating, producing, publishing, and distributing Curious Sundries and Callous Broadsides. From the Satanic Scriptures by Magus Peter H. Gilmore to Might Is Right, the authoritative edition by Ragnar Redbeard, Underworld Amusements is your source for the most dangerous books ever written. Visit underworldamusements.com for more information.
I got a little education for you guys. Do you know that when you go to a cemetery, when you're looking at the statues there and whatnot of, say, past generals, or revolutionaries or whatever, you know that there's a way to tell if they were wounded in battle, if they were killed in battle, if their horse was wounded in battle, or if their horse was killed?
I don't.
By looking at that statue. If you see the soldier with one arm up in the air, he was wounded.
What?
You see two arms up in the air? When he, like, he's on the back of the horse, he's got his sword drawn, and he's holding the rein high up in the air. He was killed in battle. In retro, the horse, if a horse is up on one leg and just, you know, got one leg up in the air, the other three on the ground, he was shot. If the horse is back on two legs and up in the air.
So if it's like rearing?
Yeah, rearing, thank you. It was shot and killed in battle. So there's your education for the year.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that before.
Yep. Huh. And now when you go to the cemetery and you see that,
I'm going to look at all of these statues differently.
And you can say, hey, you know, that dude died. Or that dude was only shot, you know, the guy's horse.
Well, you know, and that's a good kind of segue to talk about what happens around the nation. And in the observance, I keep wanting to say celebration, but it's not a celebratory day. The observance of
woo,
the
people,
people I know are dead. Woo,
sweet, more food for me.
Most people are familiar with the wreath laying ceremony that the president does at Arlington, or at least they've heard about it if they've never seen it, where he lays a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. So the president, just the president, at 3 p.m. local time, wherever he's at, will have the national moment of remembrance, which is a moment of silence for 1 minute to honor the fallen service members, because that's what they're worth, 1 minute of silence. There's also a Memorial Day address where the president will deliver a speech, usually from Arlington, because it's right either before or after the wreath-laying ceremony. And that address is also then now published on whitehouse.gov. So usually later in the day, if you follow the Infernal Legion social media on Facebook and Instagram and X and Satanic, we'll share the president's speech for Memorial Day, whatever it may be.
Wait, what's Satanic?
You haven't heard of Satanic?
No.
Magister Frost's new social media site.
Oh, yeah, never heard of it. I thought it was Undercroft and it was Satan Me and Letters to the Devil and...
And then it kind of went away.
This is Undercroft on steroids.
Yeah, it's, okay. It functions a lot like Facebook and very easy to use.
That's cool.
So I think then what people don't maybe realize that the president does, it's a full day for the president, at least if they're actually doing their job, after or before, depending again on what time things happen.
Yeah, sometimes they have to take a nap.
Right. They actually fly around the country and visit other cemeteries and memorials, and they meet with Gold Star families all day. Some presidents have spent the entire 24 hours into the next day traveling around the country to attend parades and things like that. Now, that hasn't happened in a very long time. But, yeah, so the president has a very full day. And we've already talked about what I'm going to do that day and kind of what the general populace does with barbecues and wreath laying and whatnot. But what are you guys going to do on Memorial Day besides watch movies and get sad? any grand plans, any wreath laying, any ceremonies?
There's a walk that we are doing on about 07 on Monday. We're going from the CBOC, CBOC, Community-Based Outpatient Clinic, over here, what we refer to as the Big Curve Shopping Center. And a large group of us will be walking from the CBOC, the VA clinic, down to Armed Forces Memorial Park. And that's about a good 5-6 miles. And so from one part of Yuma all the way up to downtown Yuma. So that starts at 07 this Memorial Day on Monday, and I'll be part of that. I missed last time because I think I fucking slept through it. My fault. So I'm such a shitbag.
You know what, though?
Yeah.
Your dead brothers would respect that because they would be shamming out as well. If they're still
here. Who said it? Ladies and gentlemen that listen to this podcast, the commander said it. So, yeah, that'll be happening. 07 to the park, and then after that is the main thing. Raul House of Fire Atondo likes to show up late to a lot of things, especially to his own life, so that'll be happening in the morning. Yeah. And then I know there's going to be food in there somewhere. What I wanted to say was I think it was you, Jeff, that mentioned you said a ritual of tragedy.
I think I was talking about Adam's idea of just, we're always trying to wear these masks to contain the kind of dark side of ourselves, the sad and the angry and whatnot. Yeah. And so on that day, it's a chance to take that mask off and just indulge in it.
Absolutely. Like showing people what you're about. Like less than 1% of the American population has joined the armed services, and then less than that deployed, and then less than that left outside the wire, and less than that has been engaged in combat. And we're part of that. So the world isn't rainbows and Skittles. And that's where we come in. We gotta remind people that it took a long time to get here. War is not a fun thing. Getting punched in the face is not fun. And between an IED explosion, hashtag fucking 4 IED explosions from my side, between that.
That's a long hashtag.
Yeah. With, it's just things that it took to get to this place and showing people who you are. I'm a comedian. I get it, but I don't smile all day. I just smile sometimes. And when people say, why aren't you smiling today, Raul? And I'm like, well, it's Memorial Day. You know, people died and that's why we have this holiday. I want you guys to understand what it took for us to get here, and not all of us made it. And I am here to say, to remind you that it took us a while to get here, and it's not all Skittles and rainbows out there. That things happen. Things got really fucking ugly in order for us to have this holiday. And I want you to know that. I appreciate speeches and everything, but it's the action of like this walk that takes place on Monday at 07 in the morning. And understanding that I'm walking with other veterans. And I don't believe there's any civilians. I'm not sure. But 90% of the people that are going to be walking, that are going to be marching or even running, are United States veterans. And that means something.
I kind of want to just piggyback off that real quick and go back to what you were talking about earlier, right, Adam, that we have to remind ourselves sometimes what we've been through. It's not that you necessarily forget or whatever, but I know, and maybe I'm the oddball, but I know there's times where I've been
doing
something.
You're definitely an oddball. Not the,
there's,
but
there's been times where I'm doing something physical and I'm like, oh man, I don't think I can get through this, or I just can't do that. Or, I'm having some type of social or personal crisis and I feel like it's all just caving in. It helps to say, dude, you survived Iraq. You survived Afghanistan. You survived basic training. Like what? It's just picking up a speaker on the stage and moving it 5 feet that way. You can do that. You've been through worse, or, it's, whatever it is that you're dealing with. Sometimes being able to remind you, pull that mask off for just a second while you're looking in the mirror is really beneficial to my personal motivation. Dwayne, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm just agreeing with what you're saying. When it's all said, I haven't got much more to say. I mean, it wouldn't.
Right. Four veterans here. We can beat this dead horse until it is glue. Well, coming up after a commercial break, we're going to have the reading of the names of the fall. This list gets bigger every year, so it eats up more of the show every year. That's unfortunate, but there's probably a time in the far off future where the entire show is just going to be the names. But before we get there, Adam, you had a special piece that you thought would be very appropriate for Memorial Day and to kind of lead into that. And I think it'd be a great way to kind of close out our segment of the show before we head into a break.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a grand speech or anything like that. It was a excerpt, a very short little stanza from Paradise Lost by John Milton from book one. And it's just a little slice of it that I thought encapsulated what it means, both what it means to be a Satanist and the sacrifices that we make in society, in our own families, in our own lives by admitting who and what we are. And there's good things that come out of that too. I don't want to make it sound like it's a bad thing, but also about the fallen soldiers in wartime scenarios. So here it is. All is not lost, the unconquerable will and study of revenge, immortal hate and courage never to submit or yield. And what is else not to be overcome? And that's it. So just sort of breaking that down briefly, the stanza is talking about Lucifer's fall. Ultimately, I think it could be easily talking about fallen soldiers. When we're talking about all is not lost, the unconquerable will, we're not forgetting the individual that fought and was left on the field. It may not have been glorious. The quality of death is less important than the fact that they stepped up and they were lost. Revenge and hate. When it says, and study of revenge, immortal hate. Revenge and hate would be the state of sending them into battle, the literal state, the establishment, the government itself sending them into battle. Courage, and courage never to submit or yield as being the role of the soldier. You know, when people think about soldiers, I think typically from the outside looking in, you're thinking that this is a life choice and they're putting on airs and, you know, they went through basic training or whatever they went through in their military service. They think they're pretty badass, but it's so much different than that. I mean, I'm sure you get those people. I just never personally met them. The reality is you're actually forsaking your rights in order to be a soldier. You don't get the choice of saying, I don't want to go over that hill. There's people shooting at us. Why would I want to do that? That's stupid. Well, I don't want to get in that Humvee and drive down the street. We know there's insurgents on the other side. That's the dumbest thing we could possibly. You don't get that choice. The state, your commanding officers, your NCOs have told you this is your job and you will execute it, period. And because you don't have the rights of every other citizen in this country to say no, you do it. And because of the training that you went through, you do it. You execute that request because it's your duty to do so. So that takes courage. That takes self-will. That takes dissembling your sense of individuality, which can be challenging for people, especially Satanists.
Especially Satanists, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the very last line of this, I think, is probably the most obscure. And what is else not to be overcome. I think what it's saying is the soldier's will or choice to do anything but follow orders cannot be overcome. We are capable of stepping in and doing what needs to be done. You had mentioned sometimes in your real life, after everything you went through as a soldier, that, you know, you sometimes it's difficult and you don't want to do it, but then you reflect back on what you had gone through. It gives you an opportunity to reflect on what you're truly capable of. You're able as a human being, but even more so as someone who's trained as a soldier, to overcome nearly any obstacle that's put in front of you in one way or another. And it's your job to figure out how to put yourself in that mindset to do it. I think that gives us almost a superpower as surviving veterans, so that we can literally overcome anything in our lives, knowing that we have that in our back pocket, as you had mentioned earlier. Putting themselves in harm's way for their brothers in arms is one of those things that you have to overcome. Realizing that I may not come home from this, but in this moment, this is what I choose is the right thing to do. What I choose is necessary, and I'm going to do it no matter what. You have to overcome a lot of just natural human lizard brain instincts telling you to get the fuck out of Dodge. Run. Save your ass. You have to overcome that, and it's training that does that. Soldiers, I already mentioned, soldiers giving up their rights in order to secure those rights, not just for yourself, but yes, for yourself. But you're also giving up your rights in order to secure your rights for your family members, for those who you love back home, or those who you love that you're fighting with or serving with. And ultimately, you know, we've talked about this a lot in past episodes and stuff, and it's just one of those ideas that constantly gets circled around, that idea of, well, Satanists would never be soldiers and willingly die in combat because you don't want to sacrifice your life. And no one is choosing to sacrifice their lives. They're choosing right. to protect their brothers in arms, or protect right. the ideals of what they believe is important, or protect the rights of those that they're stepped up to fight for in the first place. And just that one little stanza brought all these different ideas flooding into my mind. And I think it's one of those things that we can, especially as Satanists, we understand what it means. It's easy for anyone to identify with any religion, whether it, you know, is sort of Abrahamic religion or not, because that's popular nowadays too.
Right.
But to actively stand up on your own two feet and say, I am the adversary, that's not fucking easy. You lose your job. You lose your family. You are an outcast for doing that. But it's true to who and what we are. Soldiers do the exact same thing. Reflect back on nearly every conflict in the last, you know, three generations. And people shit on people who stood up to fight. Not because they wanted to go kill children, but because they were doing their duty for a greater, a higher ideal. And reflect on the reality that our nation is not perfect. We are trying to be a more perfect union, meaning we are imperfect, and the decisions that our commanders make are imperfect, and we try to be better. And as Satanists, that's literally what we do every day. We try to be a better version of ourselves, knowing that we are going to fail more often than not. We're confined by the society we live in. We're confined by the region we live in. We're confined by the genetics that we were born into. And yet we still, or the environmental situations of just serving itself, we fight against. That's what it means. That's what it means to be a soldier. That's what it means to be a Satanist. And all of that is wrapped up in that one little four-line stanza, or little section of poem for me. So, yeah, I dug it.
Wow. I don't think I've ever compared, like in my own head, I've ever compared the idea of the fall of Lucifer to fallen soldiers. But there's a lot of parallels there. That's really cool, man.
That's badass, Adam.
Hey, John Milton, man.
Well, I think that's the perfect note to leave off on. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for spending this day with me. I hope that your Memorial Days go well, and that you can honor your respective fallen with all of the respect that they deserve. And, of course, for everyone listening, stay tuned after the break, and we will read the list of the name of the Infernal Legion's fallen. But until next time, gentlemen, thanks once again for being here, and hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Why start your mornings early when you can sleep in late and wake up later to a freshly brewed cup of Radio Free Satan? Radio Free Satan is infernally roasted with a complex taste to suit your indulgence. It's sinful. That's why it tastes great. So pour yourself another helping of this podcast and others at RadioFreeSatan.com.
Well, man, it is now official.
The Shake Higgin Road Show, the finest in rockabilly, psychobilly, vintage country, swamp rock, surf rock, doo-wop, this potpourri of madness. The Shake Higgin Road Show, Radio Free, goddamn Satan. I'm Clint Mofesto coming at you from the Double Cross Ranch. Booze in one hand, microphone on the other, swamp thing on the telly, and the good tunes in front of me here at the computer. The Shake Higgin Road Show, Radio Free, Satan.
Damn! You will excuse me, won't you? Well, thank you very much.
Welcome to the Metro. Your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins, brings you a weekly time trip back to the 1980s with songs from the decade of decadence. Only on Radio Free Satan. Hail Satan.
I'm tired of listening to you talking around. Twisting around to make me think you're straight down the line. How you doing
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us, for we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might!
Hail Satan, full of might!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Our allegiance is with thee!
Cursed are they!
Cursed are they!
The God adorers!
The God adorers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
And cursed are the worshippers!
Of the Nazarene eunuch!
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Private First Class Stephen P. Snowberger III, United States Army. Special Warfare Operator Second Class Casey Lewis, United States Navy. Specialist Eric D. Clark, United States Army. Seaman Lance Alexander, United States Navy. Specialist Arturo Huerta Cruz, United States Army. Machinist Mate Second Class Alex Solano, United States Navy. Lance Corporal William W. White, United States Marine Corps. Sergeant First Class Jason Camaso, United States Army. Corporal David S. Stewart, United States Marine Corps. First Lieutenant Dustin Vincent, United States Army. Sergeant First Class Todd M. Harris, United States Army. Captain Ian P. Weichel, United States Army. Corpsman Herbert Weller, United States Navy. Sergeant Daniel Rodriguez, United States Army. Senior Airman Nicholas J. Alden, United States Air Force. Staff Sergeant James D. Ellis, United States Army. Specialist Justin R. Jarrett, United States Army. Specialist Raymond S. Armijoe, United States Army. Specialist Christopher C. Walker, United States Army. Sergeant Josh Evans, United States Army. Corporal Joshua Harton, United States Army. Senior Airman Brian R. Bell, United States Air Force. Master Sergeant Adam F. Benjamin, United States Marine Corps. Chief Petty Officer Raymond J. Border, United States Navy. Senior Chief Petty Officer Terrell E. Horn III, United States Coast Guard. Private Michael P. Burke, United States Army. Captain Norm Olson, United States Navy. Lance Corporal Chase D. Sweetword, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Brian J. Baltierra, United States Army. Lance Corporal Marco A. Barranco, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Evan A. Bath, United States Army. Corporal Wesley A. Rod, United States Army. Lance Corporal Guillermo S. Perez, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Jack R. Ostrovsky, United States Army. Corporal Caesar A. Villanueva, United States Army. Hospitalman Christopher Nim, United States Navy.
Sergeant Zaina K. Creamer, United States Army.
Thank you.
There is a new veteran crisis hotline number. If you or a veteran you know are experiencing a crisis, please dial 988 and press 1. Once again, that is 988 and press 1 when prompted.